This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
You see, there is a law that supports the operation of the new life that we received in Christ. And that law was captured in the book of Romans chapter 8. The law said, the law is called the law of the spirit of life. That is where? In Christ Jesus. The Bible said that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has given us, has taken us ahead of the law of what? Sin and death. Meanwhile, you need to understand that the law of sin and death is still operational now. The only reason why you are not sinning or you are not subject to that law is because there is a higher law that is operational within you. So I have said it before here that how to nullify the impact of existing law is not necessarily to disannul that law. What you do is to generate a higher law. And any man that latches on to the operation of that higher law, consequently oppressed by a higher philosophy. The civilization that power your existence is higher. So just because we have gravity, it's not for an aircraft. Are you getting the point? As long as an aircraft can engage another law, gravity will hold you at nearly, but a man is flying in the air. Does it mean that gravity has been annulled? No. It means that a man has decided by understanding to latch on to a higher law. And as long as there is aviation fuel inside your aircraft, and is filled all the time, you can remain on air non-stop. The day Satan will catch you is the day you say, let me touch ground small. And then Satan will say, we have been waiting for this guy all the time you are flying. Today we saw you on ground. Ta-na-na, ta-na. May you not be found on ground in Jesus' name. I'm talking to you about what the scripture said. The Bible said that Lucifer, that dragon, is come down with great wrath. And the Bible said, woe to what? The inhabitants of the earth. Not people, not physical human beings, not people that are at new. People that made earth their habitation. Earth is not our habitation. We are citizens of Zion. The Bible said it. You are in this world, but you are not what? Of this world. You are just an ambassador, my friend. You are an envoy. Are you getting the point? You are in this world, but you are not what? Of this world. But they are inhabitants of this world. And anytime you make yourself an inhabitant of this world, Satan will use it for pepper soup. Are you getting the point? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. So the laws that are operating makes a man to live beyond the weaknesses of his humanity. So the law that powers the life of the new creature in Christ Jesus is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. When a man does not engage the possibility of that law by yielding himself to the government of that life within him, you will find out that sooner or later you will be bound by the law of sin and death in one way or the other. If you are with me, say amen. It will mean that you have violated the law of the spirit of life by one disobedience or the other. An act of unyieldedness or the other. Now, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus works in this manner. The righteousness that is a nature within you, it makes, it energizes it in such a way that it becomes operational within you. You have heard our teaching called energio. The word energio is the operative power of God. Say after me, the operative power of God. It takes the operative power dimension of God to conform a man to the image of God. This is what the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus does within you. He makes the nature, which is like, how many of you have heard this that is written in the book of Ephesians? At the initial verses in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible spoke about the glory of his grace. After some verses, he now spoke about the riches of his grace. It will mean that the first instance where he spoke about the glory, it will mean that that word glory in that place is doga, is a weight. is compounded mixture. At that state, you cannot be able to benefit from the content of the glory, because glory is compounded, a compounded mystery that captures all the reality of God. It's like crude oil. When we now heat up the crude oil, it will be separated into many condiments and components. Can you understand it? And the scripture began to tell us in that Ephesians, a few of the condiments. One of them is say forgiveness. One of them, are you getting the point? These are the things that are contained within the glory of his grace. But you remember that the scripture that was making emphasis about the glory of the grace of God. Are you sure you are with me? Let me stop. Let me teach you. Nafana. That one can't help you. That's why you are a baby. Oga. Oh, no, Hannah Church, come with you. Have you grown now? Or you grow? If being some a pastor's son grow somebody, or you grow, let me see you. You have not grown. It's because it's not even milk they are feeding you. I don't know what they are feeding you. Can grow with that. Huh? What are they feeding them? Huh? Oh God, this modern Cerelac, even you, it will make you to grow. Have you seen this modern Cerelac? It's called 1-2-3. I've forgotten the name. So after me, 1-2-3. A man that had gave birth to the wife, gave birth. He said, we'll stop 1-2-3. The thing is costly. Go and price it. It's, the reason why you are saying Cerelac, you are numb. Stop saying things. Don't worry. Very soon. I will wed you here. You will stop mentioning it. Except God open, even if God open, after 1 week, they will tell you 1-2-3. Say after me 1-2-3. After another week, say after me 1-2-3. After 1 year, 2 years, they will say 3-4-5. They call this step now. Is it not true? When you buy one small thing like this, you buy it for 5,000, your eye will open. And those guys that are small, they don't care. They don't care it's one in the night and people want to, they will just be crying like, if your child is crying like that, is the spirit of groaning, is a man. If you are the one, we'll turn it to prayer meeting. I don't know. If your child cry and you can't sleep, nothing can happen. You carry the child and meeting. All of you will be groaning together. Is it not sounding the same? Oh God, don't do this in the way. The way. Amen. So, can we get back? The reason why I'm trying to make this small point is that people live in such a way, respond to God, respond to the demands and instructions of the scripture in such a way that it is anti the law that powers that kind of life. Are you getting the point? There is a law that powers growth in God. There is a law that powers the operative dimension of the power of God. And I told you people that it takes the operative power of God to conform men to the image of God. It's not an activity of your personal discipline. Dimension of the spirit that have the power capacity to bring you into conformation. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, all this is powered by a law. That law is called what? The law of the spirit of life, that is where? In Christ Jesus. What that law does is that it goes to what is incorporated in the nature of God that was factored into you when you got born again. That nature is called the righteous nature. Huh? Put it under a Bunsen burner and begin to sediment it into different particles. Huh? Part of the way it can be done is to give yourself to fasting, prayer, Bible study. You will notice that several dimensions of the nature of God that is encoded within that righteousness will begin to be sedimented. Huh? There is a way you will fast for long, you will become a gentleman. Hmm? In fact, you will see it small. If you do 3 days dry, 4, 5 days dry, believe me, on the fifth day, if you say you are a talkative, how many of you say you are, I'm sanguine, I'm like this. Hmm. 5 days dry. Say after me, 5 days dry. After 5 days dry, you start talking like my brother Jasper. You will start talking by signs and language. Hmm? If they ask you, what do you think we should do here? You answer like the father of John the Baptist, Zachariah. Hmm? You do like this. Are you the one that kept this? Because every energy will be calculated. Huh? You will find out that you have been wasting the energy that God blessed you with in things that are not relevant. Fasting helps you to know that you waste more energy than is necessary in many things. When you fast for 3 days, one of the things you notice, have you not noticed it, is that you start managing energy. People waste energy. Meanwhile, it's energy that power existence, but whether in the realm of the spirit or in the natural. Huh? Everything that is working is as a result of energy. And science has said that energy can be converted. Is it not true? Whatever it is still energy. You getting the point? But you waste energy. When you fast for 4 days, 3 days, you will stop wasting energy. If somebody come and he said, look at me, look at me, and he want to laugh with you. Did you notice? It's good though. It's not bad. But after 4 days, 3 days, the person is laughing at you. You want to laugh. You say, hey, Chomaika do hombiko. Is it not true? Sometimes I even try to laugh because the thing was very funny. I try to laugh and the thing didn't go. I said, try fasting, try it. Sometimes it's prayer. There is a time I pray for 20 hours non-stop on my own, not with anybody. When I came out, I didn't feel like talking to anybody. You will notice, when you pray like that, there is a motion. Some of it has happened to you in a small measure. There is a motion that will happen to your tongue. It seems as if it has a life of its own. Even when you talk to somebody small, if it's necessary, when you finish, you start again. When you are eating, you take one spoon. I heard it many years ago, 2014, when I was listening to a message by Dr. Paul Enecha. They said they invited him to somebody's house to eat. He sat on the dining table and put one spoon. Took a second spoon. And the man asked him, is it pepper? He said, no, it's not pepper. It's divine intoxication. The man has drank tongues so much that the one plate of food cannot separate him 5 minutes from speaking in tongues. You, once they drop plate before you, you say, nah. The way you know this kind of people I'm talking about, this is the way to know them. Once you bring that kind of thing, they will now lose their belt. Oga, do you lose your belt? There is a reason why your belt should be that size. So that food, any food that passes the size of your belt is extra. Stop wasting God's. Some people, they say, I attack them with my teaching. Is it true that I attack people, Raymond? Huh?
Hallelujah. If you have me, say amen. Amen.
So, let me finish up what I want to say. Remember the scripture said, the glory of his grace. Meanwhile, the operation of the glory of his grace, if you check the book of Ephesians chapter 1, was something that is a reality within God before Jesus came. Are you getting the point? So the reality of the grace of God is an existing matter in God.
Huh?
But it is existing as glory and every other thing that existed within God before it manifested. Manifestation, once it's manifestation, huh? It is no more the dogger. Let me use the dogger because the word glory has two meanings.
Huh?
One is Shekinah, one is dogger. But Shekinah is already the manifested dimension of the glory of God. Are you with me? But if the glory of God is left in the nature in which it tabernacles within God, that one is a component of uncountable realities and mixtures. So when Jesus died, the glory of his grace that was tabernacling within God, that he decided to extend, that's what Ephesians is saying, that he decided to extend to us as a consequence of his mercy. And the only way he can extend that grace as a consequence of his mercy is by sending his son to die. So that glory of his grace was incorporated in Jesus. So when Jesus died, what happened is that the glory was redistributed in such a way that it is now riches. And it is touchable, it is reachable and interactable by any human being and any person because it has been stepped down. That is why we say that Christ is the step down of God. Because Christ steps down the reality of God in such a way that man and creature can interact with it.
Huh?
Jesus said it. No man have seen God at any time. Even those people that thought they saw him is the similitude. But when Christ came and tabernacled within our heart, by the person of the Holy Spirit, the same God that nobody have seen it at any time, is now where? And when he came, there was a manifestation of the glory of that grace. It now became riches. And one of the riches is what? Say after me, forgiveness. Another is redemption. Another, there are many. Sanctification. These are the riches of what? His grace. Now, if this is true, are you with me? I think you need to go and get this message and listen to it. I'm giving you the foundational background issue. This is what it means to teach. It's not just cut and join. It's something that is very lettered, very well analyzed. If this is true, remember I told you that it was glory and then it became riches in Christ. It will mean that the impartation of the nature of God when we give our life to Christ has implanted within us the same glory of his grace as a nature. What now happens is that a believer that yields himself to a law, what is the name of that law? I like you. You are following my class well. Do you have my number? We'll give you after service. You will now be my friend. In fact, let me face you and be teaching you. Because if this is where he is going. Now, if remember we received a new life and it is powered by a law. It's not just that we received, it's a new nature. Then the law that powers the new life is a law of what? Spirit of life. That is what? Why is it called the spirit of life? What exactly is the spirit of life? Remember, the emphasis is life. You have even read that place. You thought you knew. You didn't understand it. No, be so. Let me show you now. Have you heard people say the spirit of a matter? This is life. But there is the spirit of that life. Let me give you a simpler example.
The Bible spoke about John the Baptist. He said he will come in the spirit and power of who? The spirit and power of who? The emphasis, the focus is Elijah. That means the Elijah spirit, there are different layers of characteristics that he carries. And of course, for you to shepherd and host that spirit, that is a kind of life that you need to live. I don't know how many of them, I listed them in last year's prayer and prophetic, I'll be this year. And I told you that one of them is that your garments have to be affected. Is it not true? Your diet have to be what? Affected. Your location has to be what? Your alliances and companions have to be what? Affected. Meanwhile, people will look at you and say, why are you living this way? They will not know that the life that you received has a spirit. So the word that I will use to bring a better perspective is the government of the life of God is that spirit within it. So when the life enters, it is life because it should grow organically without a help from outside. Anything that is life has what it takes to grow. All you need to do is to supply it with favorable environment. Are you getting the point? Now, the spirit of that life is what allows for that life to function in such a way that it should function. So, the spirit of that life incorporates many things. Things like holiness, things like gentleness, a lot of things. And then a man comes and gives himself to bribe. Are you with me? Say after me, bribe. Or fellowshipping with certain kind of character. You see, the life is within you, but the government, what you are doing is against the government of that life. So even though sometimes what some of the things you are doing is not clear-cut written in the Bible as a commandment, but when you check within your spirit, you will find out that this action, this position, this friendship, this call you are making, this place you have found yourself, is against the government of the life that is within me. So the spirit of that life will begin to rebel. And when a man continues to live like that, it will mean that the natural organic disposition of that life within you, you are not supposed to struggle to be holy. You are not supposed to be struggle to be right. You are not supposed to do anything. Struggle is not a struggle. But because there are postures that you have taken that have positioned itself directly against the government or the spirit of that life, what will happen is that it will seem as if that spirit is lusting against the government that you have yielded yourself to. What we notice is that your life will be a life full of struggle, struggle in prayer, struggle in fasting, struggle. Meanwhile, when the government of that life is allowed to find expression, you will find out that organically all these things will be functional in you. You will love God, not because they are forcing you. They will be begging you to go home. After fasting, you say another fasting, another person say he doesn't feel like fasting until they mandate their church to fast for 2 weeks in January. That's the last time he fasted. Such people does not know the government of the life. The spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. If you are with me, say amen. 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 Amen.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.